My name is Joe Tu, and I'm the NCNBC Regional Program Manager at Blue Ridge Community College in Flat Rock, North Carolina, and I'll be the host for today's presentation. Rick Gilmore, NCNBC Regional Program Manager at Guilford Technical Community College in Greensboro, is my assistant, and he'll be monitoring the chat and the Q&A. Tammy Wallace from our NCNBC State Headquarters team at Fayetteville Technical Community College will be providing production and technical assistance. And from the headquarters team, we also have our Director of Operations, Courtney Smedic. And I believe we also have Teresa Earl with us this morning, too. I ask that everybody put your name, your organization, your location, and your email address in the chat. But when you're going to submit questions, I ask that you do that in the Q&A tool and not the chat. That way it's a lot greater opportunity for your questions to be answered. Rick is going to be monitoring both, but the Q&A is where we're going to be focused on to find the questions. Today's presentation will be made available to you after the webinar. And real quickly, the NCNBC is an entity of the state of North Carolina. We serve all 100 counties from 15 community colleges across the state. And we're grateful for the support that we receive from all the community colleges throughout the state. And we want to give special thanks today to Fayetteville Technical Community College for the outstanding administrative and logistical support that they provide as host of the NCNBC state headquarters. We also want to thank Guilford Technical Community College, which hosts my NCNBC partner, Rick Gilmore's NCNBC office. That becomes a tongue twister after you say NCNBC many times back to back. And also want to thank Blue Ridge Community College, which hosts my NCNBC office. So Fayetteville Technical Community College, Guilford Technical Community College, and Blue Ridge Community College, and all the community colleges across the state provide a great variety of resources and programs to support your business and workforce. And so we're thankful for them and the support that we give. That enables us to use our budget to help you, the businesses who want to be providers to the Department of Defense and the federal government. Reminder, please post your name, organization, location, and email in the chat, and submit your questions in the Q&A instead of the chat. And a reminder one more time, because we always get this question and we're delighted to answer, but the presentation will be made available to you after this webinar. So that I could see my screen a little bit better, I'm going to turn off my camera and go audio only, and we'll begin today's session. This is the agenda that we'll be covering today. We will tell you a little bit of information about us, the North Carolina Military Business Center, about the Defense Logistics Agency, about DIBS. How can DIBS help your business? What do you have to do to get registered and get started in DIBS? And then we'll go over kind of like a few practical exercises on how to search in DIBS to find requests for quotes, how to submit quotes, how to search for an award. And I have the DIBS pocket guide in there. This morning, as I was looking at that DIBS pocket guide, I no longer see that posted on the DLA website. I'm going to give you some other resources that might be a little bit better, because I don't know how dated that is. Whenever I was putting this presentation together, I had been providing this pocket guide. And if anybody wants it, I can give you the link to that. Not a big deal. But they have, DLA has updated their website, and it's not readily available as a brochure as it used to be. So that's why I left it out today. And then we'll take your questions and discussion. We ask that, you know, once we have the opportunity to start taking questions and answers, we'd like for these to be open discussions as much as possible. I know you're limited because you don't have access to turn your cameras on to turn your mics on. But we do want you to submit your questions. And at the end of the presentation, if there's some time left over, we may open it up for everybody to talk and have some chat if that seems appropriate at the time. But we need to bring our lawyers in here real quickly and go over our disclaimer statement. So the lawyers asked that I provided this to you, and I'll read this to you rather quickly. The opinions expressed by participants in this meeting do not necessarily represent the official views or positions of the North Carolina Military Business Center, the North Carolina Defense Technology Transition Team, the North Carolina Community College System, or the State of North Carolina. This meeting and its contents are provided for informational purpose only and do not constitute legal advice. The North Carolina Military Business Center, the North Carolina Defense Technology Transition Team, the North Carolina Community College System, and the State of North Carolina assume no responsibility for any actions taken based on the information provided during this meeting. I know I didn't do it quite as quickly as they do on those radio commercials when they bring in the legal jargon, but just want to make sure everybody knows that, we're here to help you. But sometimes things can be said that may not be exactly right, or it could be an opinion. So we just want to make sure that we get that disclaimer out there. Okay, real quickly, the North Carolina Military Business Center is a statewide business development and technology transition entity of the state of North Carolina. We're located, our headquarters is located at Fayetteville Technical Community Colleges, and we have offices embedded in the community college system throughout the state. The community colleges are wonderful partners for us. They allow us to use their excellent infrastructure. I've heard it said many times and read in multiple places that in the state of North Carolina, you're never more than 30 minutes away from a community college. So that's why we're thankful for the community colleges for providing us the infrastructure, such as office space, IT, human resources, so that all of our budget could go to help businesses who want to engage in Department of Defense and federal government contracting. So we are totally funded by the General Assembly. We are the only statewide military-focused economic development entity in the United States. And our focus is solely on growing the defense economy through our existing industry in the state. Our mission is to leverage military and other federal business opportunities to expand the economy, grow jobs, and improve quality of life. And we go about accomplishing our mission through attacking four goals. The first two are by far, I believe, the most significant. Number one, we want to increase federal revenues for businesses in the state. In other words, we want to help businesses know about, compete for, and win contract opportunities. So those federal dollars will come to our state. We also have the North Carolina Defense Technology, or DefTech, and their sole purpose is to go out and scout the innovation ecosystem in the state, to look at new technologies and innovations that are being developed, and determine how we can introduce those and what's the most appropriate paths to introduce those into the Department of Defense and federal government. We also work with other agencies to integrate the military transitions. So your people who are transitioning out of the military, their spouses, and veterans into the workforce, because this represents an excellent talent pool that will really give North Carolina an economic advantage with our excellent workforce. And we also work with our other economic development organizations to support recruiting defense-related businesses into the state. And the little banner at the bottom talks about outcomes. You could see that since we've been around, we have had a part in attracting almost 6,100 contracts, and those are prime contracts to the state. That doesn't count people who've had excellent opportunities in subcontracting, and over 18.5 or $18.05 billion in contract awards. And that translates to, we can't even assign a number, but we know that it's a significant number of excellent jobs being brought to the state. This is just a quick snapshot of our NCNBC team. And if you go to our website, and we'll show that a little bit later on, you could find out how to reach out to any of us, and you can find out a little bit of about our background. So please take advantage of that. This also shows where all of our regional program managers are who help with the federal government business development. You could just find your county, and then you could cross-reference that county. It's color-coded there to your regional representative based upon where you live. We also have assignments by industry. So if you go and look at our webpage, you can find out, who's working in the industry that you're in, and you can get some expert advice on that. But Almost always, your best entry into organization is through your regional program manager, which you can find by using this chart here. So before we get into DLIBS, or the DLA, Defense Logistics Agency Internet Bid Board System, I think it's important that you know a little bit about DLA and what an important role it plays in supporting our warfighters and other organizations, other federal agencies that help our nation continue to be the greatest nation in the world. They play a very significant role in that. And this is just a quick snapshot of the landing page when you go to DLA's website. And again, these slides will be provided. I just did snapshots of these to give you some highlights. And you could real quickly, excuse me, see a lot of information about what DLA offers. What's it like working with DLA? What are some of the processes and procedures that you need to know? And their website offers a great amount of customer support resources. You can see all that on this page. And you could really learn a lot about DLA by downloading. And if you look at that link at the top where it says FY 2024 Annual Report, you could download this report and you could see and learn a lot about DLA and the important role it plays, as you could see as their banner at the bottom, the nation's logistics combat support agency. But I would like to highlight a few things in their annual report just so you can know how important it would be to be a vendor or a provider to the Defense Logistics Agency. So I pulled out a few things. This one is really just to show you where DLA fits in the Department of Defense. You could see that they actually report to the Undersecretary of the Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment. They have six major subordinate commands. You could see those listed, DLA Troop Support, and you could read below there that what they provide under DLA Troop Support. You have DLA Land and Maritime, DLA Aviation, DLA Energy, and then Distribution and Disposition Services. They also have three regional commands. They have DLA Europe and Africa, and they have DLA CENTCOM and SOCOM, and DLA Indo-Pacific. And if you're wondering if DLA buys what you're offering, take a look at the nine DLA supply chains. They provide petroleum, subsistence, food, drinks, medicines. They support land weapon systems. They support construction equipment, the maritime forces, aviation forces, clothing and textiles, and they also have disposition services. So they manage nine distinct supply chains that covers all the consumables used by the Department of Defense and other federal government agencies. Excuse me, I'm having technical problems with this advancing. There we go. So I just took a snapshot of a few more things here that seem rather impressive to me. As you could tell that in 2024, they had over $52 billion in contract obligations. I was surprised to see this. The greatest section of that goes to DLA Troop Support, followed by DLA Energy, followed by DLA Aviation, and then DLA Land and Maritime. And then if you look at the defense industrial base that's involved in the operations at DLA, you can see that DLA has over 8,500 defense industrial base suppliers. 80% of these suppliers are small businesses. And of that $52.6 billion, $20 billion of that went to small businesses. So if you're a small business wondering, hey, can I play in this? Do I have an opportunity to earn business in that? I mean, you could look at what 40% of their business goes directly to small businesses. And for the past 12 years, DLA has surpassed their DLA small business goals. And it makes up 21% of DoD's small business obligations. They award 10,000 contracts per day. And of the contracts that they award, 83% of these are awarded on a competitive basis. So a lot of businesses ask me, hey, do I really have a chance? Because General Dynamics and General Electric and Raytheon or RTX and all these big companies, they're going to be the ones who are getting on all these contracts. You can tell that that is absolutely not true because 83% of them are competitive. And then I like this little snapshot here that says what they do DLA in a day. They transact over 9 million gallons of petroleum a day. They provide almost 31,000 uniform items in a day. They provide approaching 1 million meals a day. They process over 87,000, almost 88,000 orders per day. They provide about 324,000 repair parts to these weapon systems that our warfighters use. And then they also provide medical items and pharmaceutical items. So I hope by just looking at this little snapshot from the annual report, you'll see what an important agency the Defense Logistics Agency is. And you'll also be able to see that, hey, DLA really needs what I have to offer because they need that to support the warfighters. This is just a quick snapshot to show that DLA manages the parts needed for over 24,000 weapon systems to keep them operational. And this just shows each of the services, some of the main platforms that they provide for, and the fill rates that they have for the supply chain for those particular weapon systems. And while these numbers look pretty good, we know that they need to get better because we need the warfighter to have the best operating equipment that's available. So just a quick snapshot of that. And last but not least, I believe, when you're doing business with DLA, they do business with a lot of other federal agencies. So that gives you a foot in the door to doing business with. You can see several of these other listed federal government agencies, and it's about another 12.34 billion in sales. If you go to their website and go to their small business resources, they have a lot of great resources. Again, these slides will be made available to you. But just real quickly, you could look at a snapshot of this. You have direct links to what do you have to do to get started to do business with DLA. You could learn what they buy. There's a lot of free training that's available at the DLA website or through the DLA website. You could look at their opportunities and forecasts, and then there's a lot of resources, and I would encourage you to take a look at all these resources that are available through the DLA website. They really want you to be a valued vendor for them. And then here's a quick guide that was on that webpage that you could download. It is a small business overview for vendors. It gives you the steps to being successful in doing business with the Defense Logistics Agency. And if you go to that link there, it should be an active link whenever you receive the presentation after today's webinar. So you can go there and take a look at this. So that's a little bit about DLA and the important role it serves in supporting our warfighters and our nation. So what I'd like to do now is kind of start digging a little bit into the DLA Internet Bid Board System, or DIBS. It's a web-based application that provides the capability to search for, view, and submit secure quotes on requests for quotes and other items of supply. It also allows users to search for and view requests for proposals, invitations for bid, and you could also look at awards and other procurement information related to the DLA. So keep in mind that on using DIBS, you can submit an electronic quote on RFQs, so you can find them and quote on them, but you could view, you cannot quote on RFPs and invitations for bids. But the majority of their work is in the automation of doing RFQs. And once you're in this system, you can quickly submit a quote if you've done your homework and you're prepared to operate within the DIBS system. When you go to the DIBS website, you'll land on this consent page. And once you consent to what it says, and we're going to go through a lot of slides real quickly. It's going to maybe seem like a little bit like machine gun fire, but I wanted to give you all these snapshots. And when you get this presentation, it'll be easier or be real easy for you to refer back to it. And so you can build upon what you've heard today. But when you go to the website and you go to the landing page and you select OK, I'll give you a few screenshots of what's available on their website. First of all, I want to say that they have an outstanding help menu in there, a lot of information that will cover just about all of your questions if you're willing to go to that and dig a little bit. So do not hesitate to use the help. It's very helpful. It talks about how do you do your vendor registration. It gives you information on finding RFQs and submitting quotes and looking at requests for proposals and invitation for bids. And then talks about how you can research awards. And then how do you do, once you're in the system, how do you do post award requests? There may be a contract that you win. And then there's some issues that you have in fulfilling that contract, and that's handled through PARS. It gives you a lot of excellent references, and then it also gives you information about tech data. A lot of businesses, they're like, well, I want to provide this part, but I don't have the drawings, I don't have the tech data package. Well, the good news is DLA has the collaborative folders or the C folders, and that's where all the data that the government owns the rights to is made available to you as long as you follow the appropriate processes. It also gives you direct links and contact information for each of the major subordinate commands has a small business office, and that's where you find the links to contact them. So a lot of excellent information available on their webpage. Okay, so Dibs is great. They buy a lot of stuff to support an excellent agency, DLA. But how can it really help my business? What can my business do to that to grow my revenues? We'll walk through a few things that you could do on here that represents excellent business opportunities for a lot of product providers that are out there that want to do business with the Department of Defense and other federal government agencies. The first thing you could do is you could look at solicitations, and you see it circled over there in the kind of the top left-hand corner. So you can click on solicitations, and you could, if you know the solicitation number, you could input that solicitation number, and you can find out all the details about that solicitation. And you could look at them by RFQs or RFPs or IFPs or IFBs. And remember, in DIBS, you can search, view, and submit quotes for RFQs, but you can only search and view for RFPs and invitation for bids. The main gist of DIBS is submitting RFQs. So if you select RFQs from the main menu, this is what you'll see. And they give you a lot of opportunities and a lot of ways, a lot of methods to search for opportunities. You can see when you begin to search for opportunities, there are multiple categories that you could select from. You could either, if you know the NSN or part number, you could look for opportunities based upon that NSN or part number. If you just want to look more in general at the product service code, or as they're saying here, federal supply class, let's say you're looking for aircraft structural parts, which is federal supply class, or more accurately, product service code, you could search by 1560, which is aircraft structural parts. And we'll cover some of these product service codes in a minute, or as a reference to it here, federal supply class. You could search by solicitation number if you know it, purchase request, the name of the part or item. You could search by what companies have parts here. So if you are an approved source for a certain item, you could search for items that are specifically segregated for items that you've been approved for, or if you have an approved part number for that. So excellent opportunities and selections for what categories you're going to search under. And then how you show it, you could decide that, hey, I only want to look at things that are open for quoting, or I might only want to look at things that came out today, or I looked about 2 weeks ago, so I don't want to go through everything. I just want to go through RFQs that were posted in the last 15 days. Or if you want to look more historically, you can look at all RFQs, whether they're available for quoting or not. And then whenever you get the product, some of these products are not downloadable, so that gives you the opportunity to sort. So you can sort by the national stock number, nomenclature, purchase request, solicitation number, the issue date, or the return by date, or the closing date for submitting quotes. But one thing that you need to understand is if there's an RFQ out there and the return by date has already been passed and they have not taken action on that, you can still submit a quote for that. So just because the return by date has elapsed, you've gone past that. If it's still showing as open for quoting, you can still quote in there. Just want everybody to know that. And then you can look at which ones have been, modified most currently, or, you can go out as long as you want. And you can see that there's other opportunities that if you only want to see items that are, for example, small business set asides, or hub zone set asides, service disabled, veteran owned small business, or woman owned small business, you can search only by those items if you want to limit the playing field for the small business set asides that that your business fits. I would encourage you to take a look at all that, but you'll see when we look at a snapshot in a little while that you can quickly see on the list these little codes. In the list that you get when you do a search, you'll see these little icons such as the WOSB. You'll see that pop up in the list. And you could also do some sorting on how you get your returns for RFQs, either by best match or newly posted to oldest or oldest posted to newest. Next, we'll take a look at, and I apologize, my meeting icon is getting in the way of my slides here, but you can search by request for proposals or invitation for bids or other RFQs. These are ones that are a lot of times a lot larger in dollar value, and they're normally going to require a little bit more effort than, or sometimes a lot more effort than just submitting an electronic quote in DIBS. So if you selected that, you will see this page. And that's where you can search for requests for proposals or invitation for bids. And there's multiple ways that you could use in terms of search categories and how you want it sorted whenever you get your return. And we mentioned tech data. You can't make anything unless you know what you're trying to make, and you need the drawings and the specifications and everything. So if you go to tech data, you'll see information about how to have an account with the DLA collaboration folders or the C folders, and a lot of great information on that when you look at tech data and select that in the main menu. You could also download a lot of this information. Some of it you can't. That's why they have all these sort filters and all that stuff when you're doing your search. But some of the items you can download, and to cover some of the items that you can download, you could download the entire day's worth or multiple days worth of all of the RFQs that DLA puts out. And if you were to select this option for RFQ download files, then you could see that you get a list of days and their zip files of all the solicitations that they released. And so if you clicked on one, this is what you'll get in return. And remember, I was mentioning how you can get all the little icons in your search returns. Like you can see the first one is set aside for a small business. You can see that it's open for quoting. You can see that they have tech documents. And if you were to download that entire file, all those PDFs would go to where your files are downloaded, and you could open up each of these individually and look at the PDF for each of these RFQs. You could also download DLA supplier requirements visibility applications. That actually is their forecast, but you have to be logged in. And that's why I showed this quick snapshot to know that some of these features you have to be logged in. And oh, by the way, you can have a login for DLA or for DIBS without being registered in DIBS to do business. So you can get access to this information right away. But in order to be able to submit bids and things like that, there's a little bit of a process, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the presentation. But to look at their forecast information, you have to be logged in to DIBS. And they provide the forecast by product service codes, and you can see a list of all these product service codes. And if you selected one of these, you'll get a spreadsheet that looks something like this. And real quickly, looking down about row 8, you could see support tubing, and you could see every month out through 2 years, it'll be 25 plus 2 out years. You could see how much they anticipate, they being DLA, that item, a need for that item. So you can get an idea. Like, for example, if you see that item coming out as a RFQ in September of 25 of this year, you can see that they're looking at potentially by their forecast buying 152 then. But you could also know that they anticipate another future buy in February of 27. So that might come into play as you're doing your quoting, as you're looking at, hey, can I get, longer lot runs or other things that would help me be more price competitive. But I just wanted to show you, this is where you can get the forecast information for these items. And there's also a search function where you can put in a specific NSN and find out what their forecast is for that when you go to the SRVA. You could also download a list of federal supply classes, or more accurately, product service codes. And for me, that is the best match when you're trying to do a search for a contract opportunity with the federal government. NAICS codes are a great way of beginning to narrow down what you're looking for, but NAICS codes are an industry, and product service codes are products and services that you're buying within the industry. So the best matches are typically ones that include one of your NAICS codes and one of your product service codes. When you combine those, you're really zeroing in on the types of products or services that you could provide to the federal government. And when you download that file, it looks something like this. It'll give you the, excuse me, the 4-character code and the definition of what that is for. We're not going to get into this part of it today, but just for everybody to understand, if you have a product service code that begins with a number, that is going to be a product. If you have a product service code or FSC that begins with a letter, that is going to be a service. But typically, what you find being purchased on DIBS are all products. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at product service codes. It's a very important code. A lot of businesses, they'll put in what their NAICS codes are, but they won't bother to do the research to find out what their product service codes are. And really, your product service codes are your best matching criteria for opportunities that will fit your business. And then you could also search for award history. There's several ways that you could do this. Let's say you submitted an RFQ and you have that solicitation number that you submitted a quote for. You could search by that, but instead of me going over each of these, I'll show you real quickly. When you select awards, this is the screen that you'll see, and it gives you the opportunity to search by what the business is using their CAGE code, what the award number is, if you know that, what the delivery order is. So a lot of things you'll see will have an award basic number, which will be the basic contract, and then they will have, it might be a IDIQ contract. And so whenever they award a delivery order, then that award would be a combination of your contract basic award plus that delivery order. So you could search by delivery order. You could also search by solicitation number, or you could search by NSN or part number or nomenclature. And then you could sort using these same items here, the award KG, the award EKG, the award basic number, delivery order, essentially the same items that you did a search for. You could also have it sorted in that method too. All right, so that's a little bit about DIBS. And let's say, okay, we have your interest. I do want to look into doing business with the Defense Logistics Agency. So, what do I need to do that? But before I move to this next portion, Rick, do we have any questions in the Q&A?
No, Joe, I feel like the Maytag repairman over here. I'm not getting any business.
Well, usually that means that either I'm not doing a good job explaining it, or I'm doing a really good job of explaining it. So hopefully it's the latter. But we'll keep moving forward if we don't have any questions yet. But I do encourage everybody, if you have any questions about any of the information that we're covering, please submit your question into the Q&A function of this Zoom platform. So how to start using DIBS? The wonderful thing, remember I mentioned they had a great, or they have a great help menu. If you go to vendor registration, it'll give you a lot of great information of what you need to do in order to register and begin submitting quotes and using all the capabilities that DIBS has. But if you click on vendor registration, you're going to get this screen. And what this is telling you that you can't register for DIBS until you're registered in SAM and you have a CAGE code. So just know that this platform is not any good to you other than for informational purposes until you've completed your registration in SAM and you have been assigned a CAGE code. Again, I mentioned the help menu, and I'll just show you real quickly. When you go to the help menu regarding DIBS, you'll see all this information. Here's the information. Well, actually, this is the menu of all the help at first. And then if you select registration, then this is what you'll get on registration help. It'll talk about how to enter your CAGE code, how to do your physical mailing address and verification, your user personal data entry for DIBS account administrator or super user. Instead of reading all these, take a look at these and they'll also be in your slide. It really gives you help on every portion of registering in DIBS. And you can see that there's 11 steps here. One of the more time-consuming steps is after you've gone through a certain portion of this process, then there's a follow-on where you actually have to receive a postcard with some codes so that you could finish your registration. This is the physical address verification process. And the reason that's in place is, as much as we don't like it, there's a lot of bad actors out there that just want to access our systems and learn as much as they can about all the stuff that the U.S. Department of Defense is doing. And they want to filter those out. They want to make sure that you are a legitimate business, that you do have a location. And before we grant you access to this platform, we want to know that you're doing all this for the right intentions. And that's why, or a portion of why, they do the physical address verification. And once you get to that portion of that registration, then to finish it, you'll have to wait till you get this postcard. I just took a picture of the postcard that I got a long time ago, and you could see that this got mailed to me after I started doing my registration. And in order to complete the registration, I needed these codes out on the back. I blocked those out, I redacted those, but you'll actually need this physical address verification to be able to complete your registration and use all the resources and all the capabilities of of DIBS. Speaking of some of the requirements in DIBS, just go ahead and get used to it with cybersecurity and other things. Their password requirements are very stringent. I put that on here so that you could see they have to be at least 15 characters long. You have to have English uppercase letters. You have to have English lowercase letters. You have to have Westernized Arabic numerals. And you have to have non-alphanumeric special characters. And oh, by the way, you can't just pick your special characters. It has to come from this specific list. You can have no more than four upper and lowercase letters in a row or four numbers in a row. And when you create a new password, it has to be different than your last 10 passwords. And any new passwords have to differ by at least of those 15 characters have to differ by at least 8 characters. And oh, just to make it more wonderful, you have to get in, you have to change your password every 60 days. So I know it sounds like a pain in the butt, but it's for good reasons. And you're going to have to just deal with having to deal with these very complex passwords. I have a password manager that I use, and that's how I keep track of my passwords for Dibs, and then later on for the collaboration folders or the C folders. Speaking of the collaboration folders, here's all the help menu that is available for the technical data within Dibs. So look at this. If you have problems, it does a very good job of walking you through the process of getting access to the collaboration C folders, which is the repository for all of the drawings and tech data packages that the government owns the rights to. I do want to go back and show that you could see that there is a DISA Global Service Desk number that will help you in accessing that. And I have had to use these numbers before, and they do work. And then there's a more general number for calling the DLA Product Data Customer Service Desk listed there. Gives you some more tips on using the C folders. And then it also gives you, again, we have another set of stringent rules for the C folders password. So you may be logged into Dibs. You may find a request for a quote that has a tech data package that you want to take a look at it. And then whenever you select on that tech data package and you want to look at it and see the drawings and all the specs and everything, you're going to have another login. The first time you log in, it's going to be your Dibs login, but you're going to have to change it immediately to have a separate login for the collaboration folders. And then something that's occurred relatively recently. Well, having your JCP is not real recent, but there's a process in that now that's relatively recent associated with CMMC or Cybersecurity Merge Maturity Model Certification. So I'm telling you all this real quickly to let you know that there's a lot of tech data packages that the government has exclusive rights to. And it could be that, you know, it's a competitive item and the government owns all that and you could access that, but there still may be additional requirements. And one of these, for the majority of these open for competition, government owns the drawings for this item, they're still going to, in a lot of cases, the majority of the time, some additional requirements, and that is you must have completed the enhanced joint certification program. And in order to do that, you have to take the DLA Introduction to Proper Handling the DoD Export Control Technical Data. And it gives you all the information on what you need to do to complete that section. It gives you information on how to access the JCP portal. And again, these will be on the slides. You'll have opportunities to find this. And what I mentioned related to CMMC is the new requirement to put in your National Institute of Standards and Technology, your NIST assessment of basically of your cybersecurity status. You input that into the supplier performance risk system, and this gives you all the instructions on how to do that. And it gives you a direct link to go to the SPERS page, and the SPERS page gives you a lot of tutorials and everything that you'll need to do to complete your self-assessment and enter into SPERS. So you then can complete your joint certification program so that you can get access to more of the tech data packages that are available through the collaboration folders. But the good thing is, well, I'll back up. The tough thing is there's a lot of tedious procedures that you have to follow, but the good thing is they tell you how to do it on these websites. And if you ever run any problems, reach out to us and we'll try to help walk you through or at least give you the resources so that you can get through this. I don't want to call it a complex process, but it is a very tedious pay attention to detail process. So now, Rick, do we have any questions before we move to the next section?
No.
Okay, I'm getting concerned. I'm not getting any questions. I
No.
was thinking that this would stir up a few questions, but we'll keep moving on. And remember, you have the opportunity to input your questions in the Q&A. So I told you we'd do a few practical exercises on some of the things that you could do with DIBS. And the first thing I'm going to cover is searching for RFQs. This is the vast majority of the business opportunities that is on DIBS. So let's look at searching for RFQs. I mentioned earlier that you can search for and have the results returned and sorted in multiple ways. And so in this example, I'm going to do a search by, they call it Federal Supply Class. The more accurate term is product service code. And I'll input the 1560. You saw the list that we provided earlier of all the federal supply classes that you could download and do a search on that. You could also find your product service codes by going to acquisition.gov. There is a product service code manual on that. And inside those manuals, there's a spreadsheet. I think the last version of that was April of 2024, maybe, where you could download all the product service codes into a comma separated values file, save that as an Excel file, and then you could search by keywords to help you find the product service codes that apply to you. I just give you that background. In this case, I know that I'm looking for 1560 as my product service code or federal supply class. And I know that this happens to be aircraft structural components. And I only want to see, you could see the third circle there as you go down. I only want to see RFQs that are available for me to quote. And I only want to see items that have tech documents available. And in my example, I'm a service disabled veteran owned small business, and I want to look at items that I'm going to probably have a better chance at competing for and only competing against businesses that are like mine. I don't normally recommend you do this. I recommend it, taking a look at all of these opportunities. But just for this example, I want you to know that capability is there. So these are the search criteria that I use. And when I input that search criteria, you see that I get this list. This is a list of all those opportunities that are open that fit all those criteria with the product service code of 1560. They're open for quote. They have tech documents, and you can click on the link there to find the tech documents. You could click on the link for the solicitation to see the details of the solicitation. And remember, I told you the icons are there so you can get an idea of more information about those solicitations. In this case, I searched by service disabled veteran owned small business. You can see that that icon is there under the solicitation. You can see that these are all open for quote. And if you're registered and you're logged in, submitting a quote is very simple. All you have to do is go to that where it says the column that says RFQ slash quote status. You select quote, you could submit an electronic quote. And when you're logged in and you've submitted a quote and you do a search, if there's items that you have already quoted, you'll see a check mark there. That check mark, instead of it showing quote, it'll be a check mark, and you could say, okay, I've already submitted my quote on that. But when you select the solicitation, you'll get all the details of the solicitation. You can see in this case, looks like it's got to move my meeting out of the way, icon out of the way to see. Looks like it's 25 pages long. And there's some key elements to that, but I'm just going to go ahead and be upfront with you. If you don't like to read, and if you don't like to pay attention to detail, or maybe I shouldn't say like, maybe I should say if you're not willing to, this may not be the business for you because you really have to look at all the details, and you can see the government has the details in this. There's 25 pages associated with this solicitation. But I'm going to highlight a few key things that you could see in the solicitation. In this case, you could see that before you ship this, let's say you win the contract. Before you ship it, then there has to be an inspection by the government at the site where it's being manufactured. So it says origin inspection required. One of the things I do when I'm helping a business out and we're looking at an RFQ, I'll look at FOB or the freight on board. A lot of times with these DIB solicitations, DLA takes advantage of a nationwide contract for shipping, and the FOB may be at destination, meaning that they're going to arrange for the carrier to come to the location and pick it up. And so whenever you submit your quote, you're submitting your quote based upon it being FOB destination versus FOB origin. You also can look at if there's any first article requirements. You could see in this particular one, there are first article requirements. So I'll search on that. I'll search on where the inspection's supposed to be done. So that's very important because if the inspection's supposed to be done at origin instead of destination and you shipped it out, guess what? You've got a problem. You have an in-process shipment and it didn't meet the requirements of being inspected at the origin. So you're going to have to do a PAR or post-award request to find out what the disposition is from DLA, whether or not it needs to be shipped back to the origin and inspected there, or whether or not they can make, special exceptions for you. And I don't think you want your customer to have to make a lot of special exceptions for your business, but maybe you have to make a special exception so that they can do the inspection at the destination. But a lot of excellent information in this. And I really like to look at if it's available. A lot of times you'll see the procurement history of this item. And in this item, you could see the CAGE code and the contract numbers to include delivery orders if it's in there, what quantities they were, what the cost was, or what the price was on that contract. So you can get an idea of pricing history on this. So you can see this particular item, you could see award dates in 2020 going back all the way to 29, what the quantities were, what business won that contract, and how much they got paid per unit. A lot of great information that you need to pay attention to on here. Again, what's the FOB? What's the inspection point? What's the acceptance point? What's the delivery address if you're having to pay, FOB destination? So a lot of good information in there. And then if you want to go and look at the tech documents, this is just another example where I had done another search by using the product service code 4710. And if you click on the tech documents, I mentioned going to a second login, and this is the where the C folders agreement is. So you scroll down, you have to go in and agree, and then you have to log in to the C folders, and then you can start getting access to the tech documents that you'll need to, number one, determine, can I make this? And then number two, can I make it at the margins that I need in order for this to be a successful business opportunity for me? So you'll need to make sure that you get all that upfront information to determine if you want to submit a quote on it. And you'll want to be able to look at the drawings so you'll know exactly what you're trying to make. And in this case, there's multiple items in there. When you select each of these items, one of them is the quality assurance provisions that the government's using. You'll want to understand that. This is the specification sheet on the materials and other things. And then this is the drawing for the product. So if you're a, manufacture to drawing type business, a lot of these items, particularly if you've gone through that I mentioned earlier, the joint certification program or the enhanced joint certification program, you'll get access to a lot of items that you'll be able to bid that because the government has the drawings and the tech data packages for these items. And this is an example of finding the tech data packages and the information you'll need to be able to build this part. However, sometimes you'll go in and find tech data packages that it says it's available. And if you go, you click on it like we did before to get access to that through the C folders, you may see this padlock icon. That means based upon your registration and DIBs and all that, you don't have access to this. And it may be because you haven't done the JCP certification, or it may be that you need to have a licensing agreement with the OEM or another, the main provider for that item. So there are a lot of reasons why you may not be able to access this information that the government has on their tech data, on the tech data package. And in this case, this is the example that You need to have authorization from Lockheed, and you also have to have completed your enhanced JCP certification. A good source.
That this is kind of a good segue into the question that I have. It's actually they put down two, but it's really one. Is JCP ta are they taking applications yet? They stopped last year, and then they said, followed up, should I say they paused late last year? So do you know anything about the JCP certification being on hold or pausing that?
I do not. I can tell you, I was helping a business about 3 weeks ago go through this process, and they were able to go through the process. So I don't know.
So,
I didn't know that they weren't. Now they may have stopped it because of, changing the way that you upload your self-certification and Aspersions. I don't know, but as far as I know, they are. You are able to go through the process of doing your enhanced JCP certification then.
okay, thank you.
A tool that you'll find very valuable if you're a provider of national stock number items is called Publog. Publog is the public-facing logistics information system that provides you a lot of good information about each of these items that have national stock numbers. And so I would encourage you to just do a Google search on Publog and go through the process of downloading, because it helps me make a decision if this is a product that I'm going to want to submit a quote on. And I just use an example. I'm doing a search in this case by the NIN number. And whenever I do a search by the NIN number, I can tell a lot of information about this part. I can see, what the item name is. A lot of information about, who's buying this, what's the colloquial name, cover seal or doghouse. You could see, don't get confused by this unit price. Unit price is essentially the shelf price that DLA is using. And sometimes this price can be way high or way low or out of date. So if you do a little research on a product that you're thinking about submitting a quote for, don't base it upon this unit price. You can see earlier, I showed you the procurement history on that particular solicitation that I was looking at. That's something that's going to be more accurate at what your unit price is based upon the quantity. But this is just the management price that DLA uses. So if you're thinking, hey, when I submit a quote on this, it should be somewhere around 5,200, then, most of the time you're going to be bidding too high, but sometimes that's an outdated number and you might be bidding too low. So don't pay too much attention to that. But for purposes of this webinar, I really want to talk about the AMC or acquisition method code and the AMSC or acquisition method suffix code. We'll get into some details on that in just a few minutes. But just, further along, some more information, you could see, the weights, the sizes, all that information you can find on Publog. And then speaking of AMC codes and AMSC codes, so AMC code is the acquisition method code. And you can see the description here. It's a code reflecting the decision of the primary inventory control activity. In this case, it's likely to be DLA, as to the technique of purchasing to be employed from a planned procurement review. So basically, it's going to let you know if it's going to be competitive or not. And then the AMSC code is the why was it determined to be competitive or not. So AMC code, is it going to be competitive, or where do we have to go to get this item? And AMSC code, the rationale for why it was coded the way it was. And I'm going to give you a little cheat sheet that'll show you some of the sweet spots if you're starting out. Now, if you are an approved provider of a specific item, those are your best opportunities to win. But if you're looking to break into this, the items that the government has the drawings to and are suitable for competitive acquisition. So if it's competitive acquisition, it's going to have an AMC code of 1, or an AMC AMS, I'm sorry, or AMC code of 2. One being it's suitable for competitive acquisition, or two, it is for the first time competitive, or going to be a competitive acquisition. And G means that the government has unlimited rights to the tech data. And Z means it's a commercial non-development off-the-shelf item. So there may be a standardized spec that's not even a government spec that you could get to know how to make that. But this is a good cheat sheet of all of the AMCs. Instead of having to go and look at each of those definitions in PubLog by selecting them, here's your good cheat sheet to take a look at. So that's an example of searching for an RFQ and viewing it and finding the tech data package and all that. So I'm going to show you a quick example of submitting a quote. You cannot do this unless you have a DIBS registration that is active. And I just happened to take snapshots from a business that I was working with or supporting of submitting a quote so you can get an idea of how quickly you can submit a quote for an item that's on DIBS. So we've done a search. We pick out an item that we want to submit a quote on. And after we pick out an item that we want to submit a quote on, then we'll just click on quote. And again, if you've already quoted it, there'll be a check mark there, a green check mark instead of it saying quote. And if you select on quote, then you get this pop-up that goes over all the information that you'll have to put in to submit a quote. Sometimes this stuff will be pre-filled based upon your login and whether or not you're an approved source, but just go through the look at all the look how simple it is to fill out this sheet to submit a quote. That's the first page of it, and this is the second page of it. And I will say this: entering price breaks often works. I have submitted quotes with price breaks and ended up getting a contract for a higher quantity because I put they might have only been looking for 200 and I had a price break range that was, 250 to 500 and they liked that price, so they went ahead and purchased a higher amount. So just as you go through these fields that you have to complete, just keep in mind that oftentimes it works out to get a larger order by putting in your price break quantities too. And then here's a continuation of the pages that you have to fill out to submit a quote. And then once you go through this, you submit the quote. Now you're just waiting for it to be awarded. It's a very, once you get to the point to where you're registered, you have access to the C folders, and you submit a quote, it's a very easy process to do that. Bear with me with some little technical difficulties here. Okay, and this is what I mentioned to you earlier. When you do a search for opportunities to quote, if you've already quoted it, you'll see that checklist. If it was awarded to you, you'll see that it was awarded to you. I mean, information that's available through DIBS is extraordinary. But also, if you see that you have submitted a quote and it hasn't been awarded and it's still open and you decide you want to revise that quote, there's an opportunity to go in and revise that quote. And by doing that, you just go back, you'd click on that quote, you'd put in your CAGE code, you'll see the item, and then you can go in there and you could either view your quote or you could revise it. So that is the simple process of submitting a quote once you've done all the hard work up front. Now we'll do a quick practical exercise or demonstration using snapshots on how to search for an award. So if you go to the awards at the, hold on, I got to get rid of this draw function. Sorry for my technical issues here. Okay, going
Okay.
back to search for award, if you select award, You can see that there's several options to do your search for award. You can search by awardee cage code, the basic number, delivery order, the delivery order, the solicitation, the purchase request, or national stock number or nomenclature. So not only can you search for awards, but you could also use this as a good platform for gathering data to develop business strategies. In this case, I'm going to search by solicitation, and I'm going to use, let's say, I know that I submitted a quote for this particular solicitation, SPE 4A525T4499. So I want to search and see, okay, what happened to that? I submitted a quote. What's going on with that? I can search for that award, and I can bring it down, and I can pull it up after doing the search, and I can see that it was awarded. This was the award number. This is the business that won it. You can click on that 3BM Victor 1 for awardee cage code, and you can find out information about the awardee. You can see how much was the total contract price when it was awarded, when the award was posted. A lot of great information that's on there. And if you didn't win that, if you followed this all the way through, then you have a lot of information. If you didn't win it, at least you can get better at competing for it in the future. So that's a good reason for searching these awards and finding out what's going on with the awards that you submitted for. And this is what an award looks like. In this case, looks like there's 14 pages of information that's available specific to this award. I want to remind you again of the help that's available on DIBS, outstanding help menu, and also you have the help of the North Carolina Military Business Center if you reach out to your regional program manager. This is just again the menu of items that are available on the help menu. And I would encourage you to take a look at that. And please don't hesitate to reach out to that. And that's kind of the formal portion of the presentation. Now I'd like to open it up for questions.
Joe, I have another question submitted actually one by one of our team members. Rena said I had a company tell me that the drawings that DLA posted were outdated and inaccurate. The company was trying to discuss this with DLA, but DLA told him to manufacture per the drawing with no changes. How do you advise a company to handle such a scenario?
I'm going to ask you to read that again.
They said that they were dealing with a drawing, this company, and that the drawings were outdated and inaccurate. And they tried to discuss these issues with DLA, and DLA said, no, build per the drawing.
Well, in that case, I would probably get documentation from DLA that they said build it per the drawing that they have, and cite those particular documents that were available on DLA, and get in writing, whether it's through an email or through a document that they told you to build it according to the drawing, and then reference the drawing. That's the way that I would do it.
Well, I had a customer that ran into to a similar thing, and it was some aircraft skin parts, and the hole, it was a question as to where to drill the holes for the thing, and the problem is the contracting person was not technical, and they wanted to act as a gatekeeper and would not allow them basically access to the engineer. And so it became a nightmare. And then when he built it per the drawing, as similar circumstance here, then the technical inspector came in and said, no, this is not right. So he had a bad experience with that. And the problem is, if you know, in this case, if there's some way you can get around the contracting person to speak to an engineer, to verify what's going on and what your thoughts are on that. It sometimes become a situation where it's, I mean, I'd almost punt if I couldn't get past the contracting person to get to somebody.
Well, unfortunately, that happens. Contracting now, in a lot of cases, there's good reasons for it and reasons not to do it, but sometimes contracting officials do act as gatekeepers, and that's why it's important that you document any instructions that you get from the contracting official. But yeah, there's going to be cases like that. I mean, that case could happen if you're doing business to business, and if you don't document, the discussions that you had and reference the right drawings, and reference your conversations. That's not only an issue that would happen in doing business to government, but it's also an issue that could be business to business or business to consumer. So yeah, those are some bad stories about things that have happened. But the biggest thing is, if there's problems with that, reach out to the contracting official, request that, document your conversations. But I think for the most part, you'll find contracting officials that they want to buy the right item, and so they're going to help you find the right resources. Does that mean that human error doesn't occur and you have some bad things that happen? Some bad things will happen, but for the most part, I mean, there's a point of contact for each of these solicitations, and that's going to be your entry point. I don't know how to tell you
Well,
how
what about
to
Joe? What
run
about this?
around them.
In this case, I'm thinking you have to circumvent the buyer, okay? And does they have small business liaisons there? I.e., is John Henley? Is that what is his title at Richmond?
He's Director of Office of Small Business Programs for the DLA Aviation Office, or Associate Director.
Well, it seems like to me that there should be a kind of an odds bondsman, if you will, to hear out issues like that. Whereas if the buyer is acting as a gatekeeper and not
Well, I mean, you just mentioned a great resource for doing that, and early on in the presentation, you could see that at DLA that it'll give you the contact information for every DLA major subordinate command, and it'll give you a contact going directly into their offices of the Small Business Program. So that you're right, Rick. That is a great resource if you run into a problem with a contracting official, and I've done that before with the business that we supported at NCNBC that. They had a different viewpoint on the terms of a contract, and we worked that terms of the contract through the Office of Small Business Programs, and they found a more favorable resolution by starting off using the support of the Office of Small Business Programs. So that is a great resource, and I'm glad you brought that up.
That's all.
Okay. I was hoping that we'd have more questions than that. I'm concerned that maybe I didn't bring the information out in a way that that we would generate questions. But anyway, we have a few more minutes. We'll go over a few more items, and if some questions pop up, I'll make myself available for that. But I do appreciate you mentioned the Office of Small Business Programs. I kind of said that up front, but that is a great resource for small businesses, and every DLA major subordinate command has a small business office. I do want to cover real quickly our NCNBC website. I would encourage you to go take a look at our website and see a lot of the resources and information that's available on that. And one of the specific things is one of the best things you could do to present your business to the Department of Defense, the federal government, and major primes and OEMs is to attend what I call educational networking and business development events. And if you go to our website, you'll see a lot of opportunities to participate in these events by scrolling down to the events portion. You could also take advantage of the menu and see more about our staff, more about what NCNBC does, more about DEF Tech, cybersecurity, a lot of great information, some Hurricane Helene support resources and efforts. And then there's a lot of information specific to government contracting. So you can go there and see information about how to get started. Our excellent matching platform called MatchForce, which is a good way to complete a simple business profile and start receiving federal government opportunities that may match the capabilities of your business. A lot of small business resources. So take a look at the resources that are available on our webpage too. And there's a lot of information on upcoming events that we have. This is our contacts here for Rick and I for today, and key people at our state headquarters, our executive director, Scott Dorney, our director of operations, Courtney Smedic, and our technology systems manager, Tammy Wallace. Informally, I'll open it up for more questions and more discussions, but I do want to thank everyone for participating in today's session, particularly our businesses who are providing the best products and services to those who fight for, protect, and serve our great nation. Please reach out to the North Carolina Military Business Center if we can assist you. This concludes the webinar, but we'll keep it open for discussion if anybody would like to do so.